today on Real Radio.
Does that not sound like our culture today, where the system just grinds on you and wears you out so that you get tired of standing for what's good or what's right or what pleases God? We live in that age. It doesn't mean we quit. Thank God we're going to heaven. It means that we stand up in the midst of perilous times.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called What You Really Need to Know, Part 1, continues a series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. Even though the Apostle Peter is older now, he's living a more resilient and unwavering kind of faith. Many are twisting the truth about Jesus and his ministry here on earth, and this is why knowing what's true and what's false is at the heart of Peter's letter. As we continue in chapter 2, we'll see how Peter puts the seriousness of what he's saying into three powerful sections. We just finished Eyes On, Ears On, in which we dealt with false ministries and their ungodly conduct. Now, we'll see how God deals with their deception, and in our future study, we'll discover what sets the character of false teachers apart from those who teach biblical truths. So today, on day one of this message, Pastor Jack tells us that we have a spiritual enemy who will stop at nothing to discourage us and lead us astray. But the Bible tells us that nothing can separate us from God's love, and when we truly give our hearts to Him, He will lead us on the right path. And now in his message called What You Really Need to Know, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
As we are now in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 9 this morning, 4 through 9, and I'm going to be very honest with you. We will not get to verse 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. We will not even finish verse 4. Today, let me explain why, as we are about to do our responsive reading together. If you've walked into this place today, this is church. This is 21st century church. What does that mean? That means we're striving to get back to the first century simplicity of the gospel and of the church. We do not want to be some hip, irrelevant, I say that with sarcasm, compromising church. We want to be a reality church. We want to be a relevant church. And we believe that God's word is the eternal truth that he has given to us, the Bible. And because that's true, we don't have to make ourselves relevant. God's word is always relevant. If you stick to his word, you and your church will do just fine if you do that. And we're committed to that. And being committed to God's word, we go through every book of the Bible, every chapter, every verse, without apology. And so 2 Peter is not for the faint of heart. That's why I keep reminding you, it's often affectionately known as Peter instructing the believers to have a combat faith, a militant, engaging faith. Now, when I talk about militant, I'm not talking about Antifa idiocy, throwing rocks or swinging bats. I'm talking about militant, that we believe the word of God and we live it. If we're going to be radically committed as Christians and militant about our faith, it means that we are going to be the most loving, engaging, and salty, bright, light, illuminating people that our community can know, that our world can know. And outside of that, if that is not Christianity, I don't want anything to do with it. If that's not Christianity, I'm going home. There's big waves happening at the beach right now. It's a great day to surf instead of being at church. But if it is real, then we're in the right place. And God's word is true. So we're looking at a message series now that goes from verses 4 to 9, and it's entitled, What You Really Need to Know. Father, we pray that you'd give us a constitution this morning to receive your truth. Give us the stomach to hear your word. We are humans, and Father, we're guilty this morning of wanting to bring our need, our wants to the Word of God. We want things a certain way. We're used to that, Father. When we pull up to the fast food, we want it a certain way. When we sit down at the restaurant, we want it a certain way. And yet when we come to your Word and to who you are, we are to throw our arms up in surrender and we are to say, Lord, here I am. Transform my life. And this morning and the weeks ahead, as we look to this powerful insight, so rare and so deep, that you'd give us, Lord, a mind to understand and a will to do. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. So now we look to what is known as the condemnation section of what we've been studying regarding false teachers, false prophets, false preachers. And if you want to take some notes on this, I think it'd be very good for you, good for us. If you were to break down this chapter, that is the second chapter, further into a deeper study, kind of give you a little roadmap as to where we're going, you'll find it easy to do as Peter puts the seriousness of it and what he's saying really in compartments, in three powerful, well-defined sections. So while you're looking at your Bible open, take out your highlighter and mark this if you would to better understand what he's saying to us. And the first thing is the fact that when you look at the sections, and remember, we just finished this message entitled Eyes On, Ears On. That was found in verses 1-3, and that's dealing with false teachers, false ministries, and their ungodly conduct. So verses 1-3 is the first section. The second section, if you're highlighting this, is the section we're in now today. In verses 4-9, the second section is Peter dealing with the false ministries and false teachers regarding their condemnation. So first we have their conduct, 1-3, and then from 4-9, we have their condemnation. The Bible says that false religious leaders will be condemned in the end. God does not take it lightly. And then this chapter ends in the third section. Mark it if you would. Verses 10-22, the third section, Peter deals with false teachers and false ministries and their visible characteristics, how you identify them. So it's their conduct. Today it's their condemnation. And later on we'll be looking at their characteristics. But before we go down this path, it's tough, it's dark, It's insightful. I promise you, it is going to kind of freak you out a little bit, unless you are a student with us when we went through the book of Isaiah. Did anybody on this go to, with us on the book of Isaiah on Wednesday nights? Just a few of you. A lot of people attend Wednesday nights. They go to other churches. Did you know that? Kind of interesting. In the book of Isaiah, we learned a lot about where we're going today in this particular study. But before we go down that path, I want you to write down some words of light, some words of encouragement, some words that will help you take your medicine, take our medicine in a moment. John chapter 10, verse 25. John 10, 25. Jesus answered and said to them, I told you, you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. He's speaking to the Pharisees and the scribes. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I told you. Verse 27, mark it. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall, what? Never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Someone say amen. Amen. Thank God for that. Verse 29, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Boy, I tell you, this morning as we go down this path of the demise of the false prophets and false teachers, if you're a Christian this morning, you need to just be thankful and be grateful and praise God that you are safe in the hands of God the Father and God the Son. You are like meat in between two pieces of bread. The Father and the Son have got you wrapped. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Romans 8, 31 begins there by saying, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is God. It is Christ who died and furthermore is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution or famine, or nakedness or peril or sword? Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Verse 38, "For I am persuaded, convinced." Paul, this uses a word, "I have come to know that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing," I love that, "shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." And all God's people said, amen. Amen to that. And all of this is true because of Ephesians 4, verse 30 in our lives, because of all the goodness that God has for you who believe. Listen to Ephesians 4, 30. "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." That word sealed means you were marked. Imagine for a moment, if I were to take, I know this sounds gross, but just hang on. If I were to take a branding iron, because it's glowing hot, once it puts its mark into the flesh, that flesh will forever carry that mark. Are you with me? Imagine for a moment that a branding iron went into the hinder parts of that cow or of that animal or of that horse, or maybe onto your arm. It is forever marked. That word in Ephesians tells us that when we're sealed, listen everybody, when we're sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption, that word implies it cannot be broken. It is impossible to be unsealed. It is impossible for that seal to be broken. And in fact, it's the same exact word that's used in the Bible that when the tomb of Jesus Christ, a big stone was rolled up at that door, and the Roman Empire sealed it with the Roman seal, to break that seal, you would be immediately put to death. It's that same understanding. If you're sealed by the Holy Spirit, that seal cannot be broken. Now, you're going to want to talk to me after service about, "Well, I believe I could lose my salvation." Well, then go have a scary day then. I believe that if you are truly born again, you know where the Bible can. You show me where you can be unborn again. If you are sealed by the Holy Spirit, there's nowhere in the Bible you can be unsealed by the Holy Spirit. Here's the challenge. Here's the point. Stop thinking that you're born again when you're not. Maybe you're a believer, but you don't have faith in God. Maybe you're very familiar with religious things, but you've never trusted Jesus. Maybe you're a member of some church and you've got your card to prove it. That means nothing to God. Have you had, listen, in this order, have you had a faith crisis that brought you to saving faith in Jesus Christ? And have you come to his throne and bowed your knee and said, "Lord, save me"? Because that's why Jesus went to the cross. I need to lay all this out for where we're marching this morning. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, Paul told Timothy, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come." Perilous, dangerous. Dangerous times. Dangerous for the believers. Impossible for the unbeliever. Perilous times. The word implies that days will come. Listen, I believe this is being lived out in California, if not the nation. The word perilous means to just grind on you. Does that not sound like our culture today, where the system just grinds on you and wears you out so that you get tired of standing for what's good or what's right or what pleases God? We live in that age. Thank God we're going to heaven. It doesn't mean we quit. Thank God we're going to heaven. It means that we stand up in the midst of perilous times. We keep moving forward. This is all introduction. We might not get even to verse 4. I saw a sign not too long ago, and it said, warning, possible dangerous conditions ahead. Now, that's all it said. I would not have known what it meant unless the context defined it. All it said was, warning, possible dangerous conditions ahead. What does that mean? Well, I can tell you right now, I happen to have been in a car. Now that starts to make more sense. It would have been more plain if it said, warning, dangerous area, gusty winds. Are you with me? Yes. Warning, dangerous falling rocks. I get that. Warning, danger ahead, oncoming traffic, single lane. I get that. The context of the world in which we live in warns us about the danger that we're in, and it applies to the warning. So warning, possible dangerous conditions ahead. And I'll give you a little bit of what I just mentioned a moment ago. As I began to go down this roadway, this road that was one lane, it had a steep cliff on one side. It was evident from the road that rocks had fallen and strewn the path. That path that I'm talking about, and maybe some of you have done this, that warning reminded me of what on the island of Maui in Hawaii, if you drive from Kapalua to Kahului, if you know what I'm talking about, if you go from the beautiful end where all the golfers golf, if you take the rugged road downtown to where the airport's at, you're going to be experiencing some rough road. But you know what? The context told me, based on the warning, that it was going to be like that. But yet, that's not still the warning that I was prepared for. Do you know what? I was shocked to find out. On that road, driving on that path with all of the dangers that are around, my mind was fixed on the road conditions. Came around a turn, and there on a big rock had all kinds of Hawaiian language written in the Hawaiian native language. It had the pre-colonized Hawaiian tribal flag, if you've ever seen it. It had some various icons set up, various stakes with statements on them, and a huge sacrificed boar, pig, on a rock. Some sort of paganism had taken place right there. I later asked some friends, what's that all about? And they said that's exactly what it was about. It was a pagan sacrifice. Danger. Dangerous conditions ahead. I was expecting rocks and a slippery road. I would have taken the rocks and the slippery road any day than bumping into some of those who made such a sacrifice. Are you with me? Yes. And I'm encouraging you this morning that you and I are on a path of rocky and bumpy and slippery roads. We'll make it through. Christ will see to it. We'll get through. But along the way, there's demonic activity, there's satanic worship, and there's false doctrine and false teachers. That's the danger. And it often comes upon us unsuspecting. And so the warning from Peter is the dangerous conditions are those false religious groups and teachings that will lead us astray. Now, as we get closer to where we're going, mark this, please. Matthew 24, verse 37, Jesus says, "But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man." Stop right there. Whenever Christ comes back in the second coming, and this has nothing to do with the rapture, Matthew 24 is raptureless. There is no rapture mentioned in Matthew 24. This is all about the second coming, the physical return to Christ, to earth by Christ. He says it's going to be like it was in the days of Noah. "For as in the days before the flood," that's judgment, "they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man." You know what's awesome about that verse? First of all, Jesus Christ himself believed in the great flood of Noah. If you don't, you should change your mind and believe what Jesus said about it. Secondly, it was a global judgment. Are you with me? Jesus warns and says that as the days get closer to his second coming, it's going to mimic the days of Noah. And to read the days of Noah would mean that you'd go to the book of Genesis and read all about that, which is a very good and purposeful study. So mark it down as we get into our first argument for today. What you really need to know, Christian, in these last days is there in verse 4, and it is this. It's that our enemy is not human. Will you write that down? Peter's talking to us about an enemy who is hostile toward you. You say, Jack, do you really believe this? Oh yeah, I believe it. The Bible teaches it. Jesus confirms it. Old and New Testament makes accounts for it. And I have the remarkable privilege and honor and opportunity to be called by God to be a pastor. And I've seen it. You don't want to hear this stuff, but I have seen undeniable, irrefutable, demonic manifestation in people's lives. And some of those things I could mention to you, some of those things I'd rather not, because quite frankly, you wouldn't believe it. The enemy that the Bible says is truly your enemy is invisible. See, as a church, we're just driving down the road and we've read the sign warning danger ahead, and we just think it's falling rocks in a slippery road. When the truth behind it is that there's spiritual powers that are out to destroy your life, and that's what Peter's warning the believers about. So our enemy is not human. Mark it down, verse 4. They are spirit beings. The Bible teaches us in verse 4, 2 Peter chapter 2, that they are creatures of a spiritual realm. He says here, remarkably, for if God did not spare the angels who sinned, that should stop you right at that comma. The Bible is telling us that angels can sin. Does that surprise you? That ought to surprise you. The Bible says angels have the ability to sin. Pretty soon you'll see why and how it won't surprise you anymore. Not only did they sin, but something happened to them. God cast them down into hell. We're talking about sometime in ancient eons past where Peter is warning us regarding the condemnation that God exercises, the God of the Bible. Please understand. So yeah, that's why I just read the New Testament. It's just love, warm, peace, hug. Might I remind you we're reading 2 Peter right now? Chapter 2. No, he's the same God, Old and New Testament. And something happened in the eons of times past when in eternity, angels sinned against God, and whatever they did, he did not, could not, would not tolerate it and cast them into hell. What in the world went on there?
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in his message called What You Really Need to Know, Part 1. We're so glad you joined us today. What You Really Need to Know, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Combat Faith, A Study in 2 Peter. It's a series about the Apostle Peter, whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ, and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, we could all use a little encouragement now and again. These days, life can come at us from all different directions, but like Peter, no matter what we face, no matter what mistakes we've made, we can still be that kind of person whose only pursuit is the heart of God. There is no true salvation outside of Jesus Christ. But if you're not sure what that really means, well, we're here to help. On our website, jackhibbs.com, click on that tab that's labeled Know God, spelled out, that's K-N-O-W, God. And once you're there, you'll find the good news of the gospel laid out for you step by step. You'll also find an easy link to let us know if you prayed to receive Christ, or if you've got any further questions, we'd like to know. And if you already know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the information on the Know God tab makes a great witnessing resource to share the love of Christ with others. So head on over to that website, jackhibbs.com. Click on that tab labeled Know God. That's at jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.